Now, I know the last thing a lot of the rural farmers want to do is drive into town. But you might have a reason to this weekend. If you've been thinking you had a need for a backup generator, at the Maricopa County Home Show today at Cardinal Stadium, Rosie on the House certified partner Fox Valley Electric is showcasing the Kohler backup power generators. And of everyone that stops by the booth this weekend, they will be drawing for an install of a free 8-kilowatt generator, backup generator. These Kohler is a great American-made product, and Fox Valley Electric is your local installer. And you can save up to $1,000 if you make a commitment on purchasing sometime over the course of the home show, which is today and tomorrow. You can go to MaricopaCountyHomeShows.com and print off a $2 admission ticket. It is free parking, and I believe it is today. Opens at 10, and then tomorrow the same, it goes till 6. So if a backup generator is something you've been eyeballing, it's a great opportunity to stop by, save a little money on one, or just might one person's going to get just lucky enough to win one. Stop by the booth at Fox Valley Electric, talk to owner Mr. Randy Cole, and let him know you're interested in a backup generator for your home, castle cabin, or maybe your farm, a well pump.
Some of our farmers, and certainly some of our ranchers way out there, would like a backup generator. Always need one. You know, we were talking about the highly regarded protein strength of the desert durum that we grow here in Arizona, and those development of those different pastas, and Italy loves it. But I hear that a local brewer, Arizona Distilling Company, produces Arizona's first ever grain 2-bottle whiskey using the desert durum, correct?
Yes. They approached us and asked us about a source of durum that they could use to make their signature whiskey. And it's always been a hit when we've offered it to some of our durum wheat customers. And I believe there's one other company in the distilling business, Adventurous Stills, I think, which is also here in the valley, that also uses desert durum to make a whiskey.
And is it a good whiskey?
I have sampled it. I can't claim that I'm an aficionado of whiskey, but it's always been a hit by people who know.
Oh, wow. Cool. So on that topic, our listeners, I know one of the questions that keeps popping up in their head is, how can I make sure that I'm getting Arizona Desert Durum if it's this high quality and our Italian pasta makers are producing it?
Well, probably one of the easiest ways to do it, of course, there are some local companies, and I'll try to at least mention one of them. If you're looking for an Italian pasta, most of the major supermarket chains here in the Valley sell a brand called DiCecco.
Yes.
And they were the original company, along with Barilla, which is the world's largest pasta company, that came to the desert to buy desert durum. And so if you're buying a DiCecco pasta, you can be assured you're getting desert durum. I will comment that there are very few brands of pasta made exclusively from desert durum, simply because that the strength of that wheat that I talked about and is makes for such a strong pasta. There's a company in Italy called Pasta Coco, and I know that sounds a little weird. It doesn't have chocolate in it. It's just that's their name. And they do make it with 100%. It's a boutique pasta. It is so firm. It says cook 15 minutes, or it says, for certain shapes, or for a spaghetti, for instance, it'll say cook 8 minutes. I would challenge anybody here to eat that pasta after 8 minutes and think that it wasn't way too al dente. And that's really the strength. You can adjust by cooking times if you'd like. Hayden Flour Mill here,
yes,
in Queen Creek, and you may have talked to them on this show, I'm not sure, but they are a local flour mill. They do a lot of different products, but they do also produce a desert durum semolina.
Fun. And they also do some of the ancient grains, by the way.
Right.
Yeah.
So they mill a lot of products, so they have a wide range of products. But specifically, they would be a source if you bought a semolina made from them or a pasta made with their flour or with their semolina, you would be getting desert durum.
So my chances then, if I'm buying some of the pasta in the grocery stores, it's fairly decent that I might be getting the desert durum.
Yeah, for instance, Barilla, which I mentioned is the world's largest pasta maker, they now have a plant in Ames, Iowa. They buy wheat from Arizona and mill it and make pasta at Ames, Iowa. We like to say, you know, Desert Durum, again, as I mentioned, is difficult to make a pasta product exclusively from Desert Durum because it's so strong. But what you find is that the high-quality brands, they use it as a percentage of their semolina. And it's kind of like the old German chemical company that had an ad somewhere that went along the lines of, we don't make the products, we make the products you use better. That's Desert Durum's role. We make all the rest of the world's Durum wheat better by using a portion of ours. We improve their quality in the process.
So we've been talking a lot about Desert Durum. That was the focus. But what are some of the other grains and what are the commodity markets like right now?
Well, the commodity markets are kind of on a bull run here. And you could go back to last January. I actually got to go to the White House and be present for the signing of Phase 1 China trade deal. And as you may recall, that trade deal, part of the feature is the Chinese agreed to buy approximately $30 billion of U.S. agriculture products every year for at least the first 2 years. And we're seeing that now. They have bought a record amount of U.S. corn, almost 20 million metric tons, whereas a year before they bought less than one. Soybeans, they're going to buy in excess of 30 million tons this year. The year before, it was a fraction of that. So we are seeing that demand for corn and for soybeans. And you spoke about it earlier, you know, about the increase in acres for next year. And that's really kind of being driven by China. There's always weather and there's always factors. But the commodity markets are strong. Cotton has hit a record price in probably the last 7 or 8 years. That's very good for the Arizona farmer.
As long as it stays at that price.
If you either make a marketing decision or we want it to stay there.
Right.
But
right.
Again, we're riding a pretty big wave. And it's always interesting is what creates that wave. Is it economic recovery from COVID? Is it stimulus money that's coming into the market? Is it supply and demand impacts of South America and having production issues or Australia the year before having a major production issue in the wheat areas? The Black Sea, Russia, Ukraine, are they going to have exportable surpluses? Those are all factors, and there's never just one. China is a big driver right now, but it's just really a kind of a mix. And right now, I'm pretty optimistic about prices for this next season. And I think, you know, farmers are voting with their acres and putting more of these crops in that they see higher prices for.
And looking at the ag wheel that Arizona Farm Bureau put together, it seems like, and I may be wrong, but just from a quick observation, you had mentioned all the different areas that you could grow Durum wheat around Wilcox. You know, you're over 3,000 feet above elevation there. Maricopa, Casa Grande, you know, you're down under 500 feet some places. There's not a lot of other row crops on this wheel that could grow in that different kind of elevation. Like all the lettuce that comes out of Yuma, you couldn't do that in Wilcox. The cantaloupe, you couldn't take that cantaloupe from Harquahala and go duplicate that in Wilcox. So the ability to plant this in a lot of different elevations throughout Arizona seems to give it an advantage over a lot of these other.
Yeah, wheat does have a lot of flexibility to it, and you really pointed out some correct and interesting features. But wheat, again, is pretty versatile. That you have to adjust planting times. Say in the Yuma Valley, you have a much wider planting window. You can start planting in mid-November, and you can plant all the way to February and still get a viable crop. And, you know, if you go to Wilcox, where there's higher elevation, you have frost dates. But it's the same wheat crop. It's the same varieties that can be grown in Yuma as they are in Wilcox. And it does make it universally available to farmers as a rotation. You know, one way you look at wheat, just let's take wheat in particular, farmers in Arizona aren't exclusively wheat farmers. It's a cash crop that's used to improve the soils and provide income in the counter season to their main crops, whether that be corn, whether that be lettuce, whether that be alfalfa.
Cotton,
absolutely. So it's a rotation. So it needs to be flexible because it's got to be able to grow in all those areas as a rotation.
What are the other grains that Arizona Grain deals with?
If you know, for the big ones, we deal with corn. That's our biggest. We handle about, you know, 1.5 to 2 million tons.
And corn's pretty versatile too. But what you're seeing growing in Maricopa County is not the same corn seed that you're seeing growing up in Snowflake at a higher elevation. So the Durum, though, that's the exact same seed across all elevations.
Yeah, again, very flexible. You know, if you make those adjustments on corn, you got to go to shorter season corn. It's a different variety, and it's not the universal thing that we would have with our wheat crops. So, again, gives a lot of flexibility, gives farmers options.
Now, what is it? Is it measured in bushels?
Bushels is a weird number. Yeah, it's.
Well, how many bushels per acre could you get on an ideal harvest?
The average in Arizona is about 110, okay, or around 3 metric tons. And it drives people nuts when you start talking about pounds, bushels, hundredweights. And when you try to have a person envision what a bushel is, I mean, hopefully they've seen a peach basket or an apple basket. You know, those are basically a bushel. It's 1.244 cubic feet. It's an old measurement. It's easy to do things in pounds. And some is just tradition based on how does the risk management markets work. You know, are they using bushels or tons? There's always the argument about my wheat weighs more, so I should have, you know, you're only paying me by the bushel. Well, you're actually being paid by the pound. It's a fun argument. I guess there can be, as they say, there can be two truths to one fact.
So you know a lot about grain. You know a lot about Desert Durum. You guys are pasta lovers. Does your family make a lot of pasta?
You know, my daughter and my son have become pasta makers. They buy semolina, and we actually had during COVID. My daughter goes to school in Flagstaff. We had a pasta night, and we each had our pasta production going via Zoom. And of course, you know, there was quite a contest who was making the best looking pasta as well as the best tasting.
Who won?
Well, you know, since the judges were all dispersed and couldn't cross taste, I think we called it a draw. But it was a smorgasbord of pasta that night, I can tell you.
Going back to how the touch points that Arizona Grain has, you were kind of hinting to how you describe the supply chain. And can you cycle through that a little bit more?
Yeah. So maybe let's just start with the seed, because you got to plant the seed to get anything else. So research companies have specialized in breeding durum to improve those characteristics that are most valuable to the pasta maker. So that's maybe the beginning point. Then you have to have a farmer who's knowledgeable and willing to grow that wheat in a manner that produces the best quality. And we have the best farmers in the world in Arizona. They are students of their business. They don't squander resources. They're ideal. And then we have that climate. We have that climate that, as I mentioned, is kind of like the greenhouse. We get 350 days of sunshine. Can't ask for better. Then you have the handlers, which are very efficient. They have invested in their facilities. They move the products in the most efficient ways. And you have the marketing side of it. You also have the universities who've done a tremendous amount of research to the benefit of the pasta industry and the farming of durum wheat. So that's kind of the connection. So all the way from seed farmers, handlers, marketing, to the end user.
It's that grain supply chain. And every link in the chain is very dependent on the next link on either side of it.
It's kind of an ecosystem, as I like to say.
It really is an ecosystem. I loved what you said about our farmers. I absolutely agree with you. Every farmer I know is constantly educating themselves on the latest, the greatest, the best, whether that be seed technology, equipment technology, even especially with our watering. It's an amazing story that we tell here in Arizona, and I love the insights you've given us about the sustainability issue too, because that's such an important word to so many of our Arizona families today.
We're talking durum wheat, our farm fresh commodity for this broadcast, with spokeswoman Julie Murphy from the Arizona Farm Bureau and Eric Wheat Wilkie of Arizona Grain Company.